down in Missouri when I heard this lullaby. While the stars were blinking and the moon was shining high.
Welcome to Show Me Missouri, the history of Missouri, one county at a time. This week we are in Clark County, Missouri. This one's organized a couple times. Organized on December 15th, 1818. Then they decided to take another run at it on December 16th, 1836, the 51st County. And we are here at the Clark County Courthouse. It's the historic courthouse, but it's kind of been remodeled a couple times here with the presiding commissioner of Clark County, Buddy Cattleman. Commissioner, thank you for the hospitality.
Thank you for the opportunity to visit with you today. Might add that this is not the restored one. This is a brand new courthouse. The other one was across the street, just to our right. It was the Hiller Building. This one has only been here for the past 8 years. So this is actually one of the newer courthouses in the state of Missouri.
Now, you have one of the oldest. One of the oldest, one of the newest. Where is the old one? Is it still standing?
The old one was sitting over here. Is now a parking lot. Mm-hmm. We use it for when we have trials, juries, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We use that for excess parking. This is the new one. It's, like I said, it's one of the newer ones in the state of Missouri. It was accomplished through a voter vote. They had a passed a tax to put it. We did, just with Kelly's help and Hart out of St. Louis, we did this year refinance the courthouse. We'll save the county about $500,000 with that finance because of the way interest rates were, the way things fell in place. We just felt that was a good investment for the county. So it is being just this year was reinvested. So.
And Kelly's talking about Kelly Waples, county clerk. Kelly, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Travis Mathis, he's the director of member services for the Lewis County REC. Thank you for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about this. Is if you've ever been to Clark County, it's easy to find on the map. You just look at the very northeast corner of the state. 512 square miles in between the Des Moines River and the Missouri and the Mississippi River, right in the corner named for William Clark, the governor, part of Lewis and Clark. He was, it's always an interesting thing, he was this famous guy, but for the first time they elected a governor, became a state, he lost the election. And it seems like people didn't quite remember all the stuff he had done. I guess when you were the appointed governor by the president, it's a little bit different than actually running for office. I think most folks like yourself, Commissioner, that have ran, could say being appointed is a little bit different thing than running yourself.
Well, I never have been appointed to this office, but running is a little bit different. It's just like any office, I think. There are lots of things that you do not realize go with the office, and if you're going to do them, the office, you need to do all the things that are expected of you. I know there's lots of boards that I sit on that I did not realize I would be sitting on.
Hot seats sometimes, too?
Well, yes, there can be that, but I mean, if you're willing to do any job, there's always days that you're glad you were there and days that you wonder, why in the world did I ever take this job? Why did I even think about it? But on the most part and on the whole, I think this is a very good county to work in. I know most of the people, or almost everybody in this county, unless they've just moved in, knows me. So it's a nice place to live. It's a great opportunity for people. Work with a great crew here inside the courthouse. Mm-hmm. So I think Clark County is just a really nice place to live.
You talk about the history of the county. You know, when you look back at the Andy Griffith Show in Mayberry, we have got the advantage, and I think it's a true advantage to be in this generation and still have a town that I would really say is as close to Mayberry as you could find. People here are cordial. Everybody's going to wave, as you probably saw when you get into the county. And as Buddy said, you know, everybody knows everybody, and a lot of times they know your business before you know your business.
Well, I tell you, I'm from West Butler County, a little town called Strangtown, and everyone knows everything. You learn stuff about yourself if you go to a little gas station we have. So I found something interesting. There was, back in the day, they called this Bit Nation, a little part of Clark County, because it was 12.5 cents an acre, or one bit of a Spanish dollar. Kind of interesting how, over time, you forget about this was actually Spanish land. And people that don't really read about it, this is all under the Emperor of Spain at once. And then the first settlers came up here in 1829 after it was American soil. Sackett and Jacob Weaver settled up on the Des Moines River in September of 1829 near St. Francisville. Now, Ms. Wables, where would St. Francisville be from here in Cahokia?
It's about 10-12 miles probably.
And it'd be east of here. More east and north, but it is northeast.
Now, is St. Francis still a town? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It sits right along the river, the Des Moines River, so it's right up against the river.
Now, it's interesting. Years later, a gentleman named William Clark, not the governor, built a cabin over at Athens. And it was, it says here, before long, a lot of Kentuckians came up here and settled in Athens. And now Athens, we'll talk about it more later, but now Athens is not still around, right? It's a town that sort of fell out with the flooding.
Athens is still around, but it is a state park. It is not a town now. Every year in August, I believe it is, Travis can probably tell you the exact date because he has a lot to do with that, where they have the Battle of Athens. Mm-hmm. It's a two-day event. You'll see a lot of early settlement dress.
Well, I want to get to the Battle of Athens a little bit later. I do want to hear about that. That's really interesting. I didn't know that. But now it seems like when you read about Missouri history, a lot of the towns start right along the rivers, and then the flooding hits.
That's right.
And they're not, and it turns into state parks and different things. Some of those towns have to be moved at different times, like Robertsville over on the Missouri. There was all sorts of, there's like Old Hamilton, New Hamilton. And I guess Athens would have been one that was a bustling town, but between wars and floods, it just didn't make it, right?
That's right. Though, if it wasn't the water, it was the old cannonballs that took it out.
Here's an interesting story I found, that as folks begin to settle in down on the river, the chief of them, I say Keokuk, am I saying that right?
That's right, Keokuk.
They came to, after a war, the Black Hawk War, they came in and they had a problem, before the war, they had a problem. The Indians and the settlers got along very well, except for the fact the Indians' dogs were killing the hogs. But people talk hogs, dogs, and logs. They had to go sit down. They had a feast, or they called it a powwow, depending on what color your skin was, I guess. And they figured out a compromise. The Indian settlers would wear muzzles that the pioneers made out of lin tree bark. Kind of one of the first times they'd really worked things out amongst themselves. Well, that didn't last too long because the Black Hawk War began. And then it says here they built a place called Fort Pike up on the Des Moines River that was staffed by folks from Pike County. And then after the war was over, the chief of the Keokuk came down and brought his, it says here in history, I don't know if this is politically correct anymore, but his squaws and his papooses to visit Jeremiah Wayland in Clark County. And they helped hoe his potatoes and dig potatoes for one whole fall. It's kind of interesting how even after the war, I guess life just starts moving on at some point, you know. As Clark County began to grow, they added several folks, not just along the rivers, but farther inland. And before they established themselves as a territory the first time, and it just didn't really, I guess the population wasn't here to work out. So I guess, Travis, tell me how your family come to live here in this part of the state.
Well, my family, on my mother's side, they came from Colorado out here and were drawn in here. And my grandfather came one county over on my dad's side. Grandma and Grandpa came one county over from Scotland County to Clark County in the late 1960s. And they were here had been here ever since. So,
Ms. Wables, how'd your family come to live here in Clark County?
My family has always lived in Clark County. As far back as both sets of grandparents, and I don't know past that.
What part of the county you live in?
What part of the county?
Yeah.
I live right here in Cahokia.
Commissioner, how'd your family come live here in Clark County?
Well, actually, my wife was, her family was originally from Lewis County, from LaGrange, and the Fishes moved south of town, her great-grandpa. They bought a farm there. My father-in-law, Clifford Garris, bought that farm. We've rented the ground south of town, and my wife was born and raised in Clark County. We met at Hannibal Grange College, and from there we went clear to the southern part of Missouri. We lived right on the Missouri-Arkansas line, and we finally decided we'd like to start farming ourselves, so we moved back, and then we taught school here for almost 30 years and retired, and then we just moved back here. That's how we got here. We've lived south of town ever since then.
So it says here, when I was reading, the really got seriously organized in 1836, and the first county court was John Taylor, Thaddeus William, R.A. McKee. They said on April 10th in 1837 up at a house near the Des Moines River. From there, they picked some folks to settle the county seat. County seat politics is always interesting. Before there was a Civil War to fight, they'd fight internal wars where they're going to put the courthouse. But they picked a group of commissioners named Stephen Clover of Ralls County, O. Dickerson, I guess his name just O, just O period, of Shelby County, and Michael Knowles of Pike County. And they selected, wouldn't be the first selection, wouldn't be the last selection, I guess, neither. They selected a site about 4 miles east of here in 1837 named Waterloo. And it sat there until 1850. Now, Commissioner, we're here at the courthouse in Cahokia. I'm saying that right, ain't I? Cahokia?
You're saying
that's
right.
I always heard
it's,
it.
That's an Indian name. It's Cahokia. Yeah. That's...
So where would Waterloo be from here? How would you get there? What road would you take?
You go straight north. You'd be right there.
Right, is Waterloo still a town today?
It is still a town. It's still located up there. As a matter of fact, while you're talking about that, it's kind of interesting because actually you would think the Des Moines River would be the county line and state line. Mm-hmm. There is a small part in Clark County that actually is in Lee County across the river. As we consider Clark County, we claim it, but it is not our ground. It really belongs in Iowa. There's just a small area up there.
So it's kind of like the river jump one time, the earthquake, or just cut through?
The river is just like any river. If a sandbar starts and cuts a place, weak spot on another spot, it'll fill in. So actually there's just a small portion right at the bridge at Alexandria that is actually in Iowa, but we claim it as Missouri ground, and they know it's there, but they don't want it either. So
it's like there's a spot. So in St. Genevieve, there's a ferry to take you across the river because, I mean, you're a good ways away from the bridges. And the ferry, the river moved once. It used to be in Missouri. Now it's in Illinois. Where the river moved, Illinois has a chunk of the city of St. Genevieve. St. Genevieve is a bi-state city. When you get on the ferry there, you're in Illinois, and they do claim it. I think they take taxes on it and stuff.
Well, and speaking of taxes, we had an interesting thing happen. It's probably been 2 years ago, 3 years ago. We actually had people who lived in Clark County, lived in Missouri, and had Iowa mailing addresses. We finally did get that changed. For a while, that was a unique thing. It was considered kind of unique. I mean, if
sure.
you got stopped by the highway patrol and wherever, and you said, well, I've got a Missouri driver's license, why do you have an Iowa address? And at one time that wasn't a big thing, but a few years ago that got to be a real big hassle, especially anybody trying to
get on an airplane. I'll bet you they'd get a little uptight about that. Yeah,
we finally got that all changed, and now now we all have Missouri addresses, so we're kind of glad we're that way.
Kind of. Well, then it said 1850 they started moving the judicial proceedings to Alexandria. They was going to follow the courthouse after. Now, how would you get to Alexandria from here?
You would go straight east down 136. Alexandria at one time was a very, very big town. Actually had a college there.
What was the college?
Travis can probably tell you that.
I don't remember the name of it.
But it's out in the middle of the river right now.
So is that right?
Talk about river changing and stuff like that from flooding. And it just actually had a big pickle factory there. Was at one time probably bigger than Cahokia.
Well, they had the courthouse, but 1850, 1855, apparently it flooded every single year. So on the fifth year, they just gave up and moved it back to Waterloo for about 18 years. And then after the war in 1865, that 1865 would have been the year to build a courthouse. Some counties built them in like 1860, most of them didn't make it. But by an act of the legislature, they designated Cahokia as the county seat, and there were $12,000 in donations, and $15,000 in county appropriations, which, you know, you think of that today, it may not be that much, but boy, you get 1870, $12,000 was a lot of money to raise from a small community. Yeah, that's a chunk. Well, they had their first session on January 15th, 1872. I guess it had been across the street. And then the WPA helped put the stucco on the outside. I've always seen the pictures of the courthouse, but it was white, the old one. I guess that's WPA work. And then in the 76th, they remodeled a little bit, and now we're here in this one that we talked about earlier. This is beautiful. It looks like you got what you need, but it's still got that historic feel. That brick just seems to fit.
Well, we do have a little bit of the old courthouse in each office, such as behind you, the old fireplace out in front. Each office has one thing kind of an antique inside that office to remind you of the old courthouse. Well, it might be the counter, it might be something, but each office has one little thing inside it.
Now here's the interesting part. We'll talk about the Battle of Athens in just a minute, but I tell you, the Honey War to me is an interesting thing that people don't talk a lot about. But in 1839 is when it started, but it kind of dates back to like 1819. There was a Sullivan survey that went across and kind of set a loose boundary of Missouri and Iowa, kind of the Des Moines River. Then it just shot west pretty straight out. Well, after that, then he put some markers up, I guess. Well, the Missouri legislature, once they were established, they didn't like that. There were some treaties and things about where they found rapids in the Des Moines River, which actually could take you all the way up almost to Des Moines. And so they decided their own study. In 1837, they set their own study out and resurveyed it. Then as things got more interesting, in 1839, the Clark County Sheriff, Uriah Gregory, was up collecting what he thought was taxes in Missouri in what the Iowa in Clark County, what the Iowans said was Van Buren County, and they arrested him, put him in the Marcentine Jail for attempting to collect taxes in Iowa, which that did not go over well. And so then another tax collector went up and cut down all the honey trees across the river and said that was Missouri's, and if they weren't going to pay taxes, they weren't going to have the trees. And this happened, I guess it's a big honey trail up along the state line. So this happened in several different spots. And after that, war was going to be declared. Everybody put their militias together, but then they decided they'd let Congress settle it. And after a long time and back and forth, the U.S. Supreme Court set the line. So do you ever just think maybe one day you might just go up there and take a few hundred acres of Van Buren and just get even?
Well, if I could pick the 100 acres, yeah, that'd be fine with me.
You ain't had any problems with Iowans arresting your sheriff since, have you?
Well, not in the last week anyway.
Well, good, good. Might check on him, make sure he's still all right. Well, then as every county in the state was touched by the Civil War, talk about the Battle of Athens. Now, that is a neat thing. I have heard of the state park. I did not know that it actually encompassed the old town, but it sounds like you know about it. Tell folks about the battle.
They've got some of the old original buildings down there. The Cannonball Building still has a hole through the side of it where cannonballs went. They'll do a reenactment usually in August. They do the reenactment, and it'll bring people from all across the tri-states in there to reenact those battles. They've got a beautiful state park there, campground. You know, with everything going on in Missouri and across the nation, people are looking for places to camp. And I'll tell you, we've got a beautiful little forgotten about campground up there in that state park that people can come in. They can camp. They can go down and look at those historic places. Lots of places. A lot of people are getting married out there now. They put up a big.
Now that'd be a big deal for people. Can't do much, but you can camp.
You can't do much. You can go up to Athens and you can camp, and they've got a very nice campground. You back into the timbers there, and to think about your camping where all of these battles took place.
Yeah,
you know, you might be camped where some of those militias were at during that time.
So it was. I read where it was part of General Lyon's force. It was for the United States. It was Colonel David Moon, and for the Confederates, it was Colonel Martin Green. Now, always easier to defend, I guess, and they had plenty of knowledge that they were coming. But there were about 350 Union soldiers, and they wanted some reinforcements to come across the Des Moines River, but they couldn't get across the river. Back in the day, you couldn't just get a boat. It was if the river was up, you couldn't make it across, especially a bunch of big soldiers and guns. So they were outgunned and outmanned. The Confederates had about 2,000 men and three cannons. But it's a little deceptive from what I've read. Not all those men had guns, and most of them just had, you know, squirrel rifles or a shotgun that wouldn't shoot very far, where the Union had rifle, you know, ammunition. And of the three cannons, two of them were fine, but one of them was a wood cannon. And there's a guy that tells a story, one of the casualties where they tried to fire this wood cannon at Athens. And when they did, now if you look on the map, it's going to be spelled Athens, but trust me, it's Athens. The wood cannon just blew up right on and almost killed a man. Maimed him, and he was out of the battle and out of the war. I'm not sure who thought the wood cannon would be the move, but I think what they used to be able to do was fire some projectiles from a wooden cannon. They tried to fire an actual cannonball, which of course went about as today you'd think it did. But the Union held them off and held Athens, and that was about the last time they had a problem there along that river. There's a lot of lore around the Confederacy, but this is the time the Union just stood their ground and held off a much larger force. at the end of the battle? Is it the Union charge? Or, I mean, I guess the way I read it, the Union just stayed in the town, and the Confederates did all they could do to run at them, and then they retreated because they saw the river was going down, and they was going to bring their reinforcements.
Exactly,
over.
Exactly.
There's so much interesting things. People go on and on about the Civil War, and today political correctness is obviously very important, but you know, Missouri is really unique. A lot of the Missouri Home Guard was formed to keep everybody out. And those were folks from Missouri fighting, mostly folks from Iowa and Illinois. Most two in Kyle. It was an interesting time, and Missouri played a really interesting part in it. Well, before we go to the break, I always want to thank our sponsors, the Missouri Association of Electric Co-ops and Missouri Association of Counties, along with the Missouri Farm Bureau. Let's just come to places like Cahokia and Clark County and talk about the history with folks. And we're going to be right back. We'll talk about some famous folks from Clark County, and we'll talk about Clark County today after this.
We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the Missouri way of life. We're for worrying less about the what-ifs and more about the why-nots. We're for checking off your bucket list and then making a new one. For starting a family, a business, a tradition. And if you find yourself starting over, we're here for that too. We're for building a life in Missouri and then going out and living it. And when it comes to making sure everything you've built is protected, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered for life.
Welcome back to Show Missouri, the history of Missouri, one county at a time. This week we are in Clark County, Missouri, as far north and as east as you can go. Brought to you by the Missouri Farm Bureau, the Missouri Association of Electric Co-ops, with Buddy Cattleman, the presiding commissioner. Commissioner, thank you for letting us be here in your chambers.
We're glad to have you.
And Kelly Waples, thank you for sticking with us. There was thoughts that she might decide she was done with this and head out, but she stuck with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
And Travis Mathis, the manager of member services for the Lewis County REC, thank you for sticking with us. So when I was reading about it, I saw that there was a House Speaker in 1885 named John Wood from Clark County. Then I found there's a William Bishop was a state treasurer. Then on the internet, I saw there's a professional wrestler named Matt Murphy who calls Cahokia home. And then I saw a federal judge, Richard Weber, that I guess recently retired.
Yeah. Judge Weber was not only in Clark County, but Scotland County. Judge Weber's daughter and I went to high school together. You would never find anybody, any better fellow, any better gentleman than Judge Weber was. And he was great to all of Northeast Missouri.
Well, that's great. I mean, you run across folks like that, it's just kind of a special thing when you find people that served the state and moved on to high offices but didn't forget where they's from.
He is always Northeast Missouri. I can tell you right now, if you called Judge Weber and needed something, he'd do everything he could to make it happen if it was going to help Northeast Missouri.
Well, that's awesome. Well, let's talk about as time went by, the rivers got somewhat under control, certainly more so as time went on. But the historical event I think of when I think of folks around here is the flooding. 93, I know, was the legendary one. How have things been since 93? And is there any folks on the Missouri River say flooding's getting worse? How has the river management been here at the intersection of the Des Moines and the Mississippi?
Well, I would say, and I don't know, I think Buddy and Buddy would go along with me on this. It's not a matter of if it's going to flood. It's a matter of when it's going to flood. And it seems like it hits us annually up here in some shape or form. A lot of times closing down the bridge at Alexandria, Missouri, which is the main thoroughfare over to Keokuk, Iowa. It causes, we're a bedroom community to a lot of different places. We're a bedroom community to people that work in Iowa, bedroom community to people that work in Illinois. And when it floods like that, it shuts the road down for those people. It also, the acres and acres of agricultural ground that goes underwater, it's tremendous. So it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, and it's something that we deal with here in the county on an annual basis.
As a matter of fact, we just got done this week filling out our last flood reports, FEMA money.
From
we're going to get, and Kelly can tell you exactly, I think it's about $180,000 that we, that's our one-fourth of what the flood, last floods did.
Have you seen it getting worse as time goes on?
I think we are seeing a lot of, this is my personal opinion now, this is no facts. We're seeing a lot of places that were, I'll use Red Rock Lake as an example, was built for flood control. It is silting in like everything else. So the base may still be as wide as it used to be. The amount of water will be there is not. I mean, so it has to go somewhere. You open up the dam, it goes to through the Des Moines, mm-hmm. and 24 hours later, it's here. If the same rains happen in Iowa, they come together right at Alexandria. So it's a matter of when that's going to flood. We see farmers trying to do just like everybody else, make every end meet, so they take out as many waterways as they can. They farm as close to the ditches as they can. They tile as much as they can. And water has to go somewhere.
Yep.
And if it doesn't have the ability to soak up into the ground, it's going down the creeks. And whenever it goes down the creeks are meant just like your bathroom tub, your kitchen sink. They're only going to hold so much water, and then they're going to run over the top. So we as people have kind of brought that flooding on. And like Travis said, it's not, is it going to flood? It's just how much rain are we going to get and how much flood water are we going to have? Because we have some ground north or south of town that as soon as it rains 2 inches in Iowa, I figure I better move some cows, or in 24 hours they're going to be standing in water knee deep. So mm-hmm. it's, like I said, it's lots of things that were built for flood control now are full of silt and probably need to be drained down and re-cleaned out, or the Army Corps of Engineers, somebody needs to reevaluate how they do things.
Yeah, I mean, you can't call it a 100-year flood if it happens every other year. You know, sometimes those year floods start to get less and less credible, and if the guy that's supposed to be the expert keeps telling you is there a 500-year flood, it's like, well, that's what you said year before last. It's hard to start. You start wondering if they really have a handle on it, you know.
Well, I've been here 6 years, and we've dealt with 2 100-year floods.
Yeah. Yeah. I think your story is not as that Missouri River is maybe worse.
Whoever takes over after me won't have to worry about a flood.
The next 20 people aren't have to worry.
There you go.
Well, let's talk about the business community here in town. Tell me about where most folks work if they live here in Clark County.
Well, we are a bedroom community to Iowa and Illinois a lot. But when I made the comparison to Mayberry, we are a lot like Mayberry. We still have the local pharmacy. We still have our local banks. We still have our local funeral homes. Yeah. We are blessed to still have a Ford vehicle, you know, Ford vehicle dealership that's been here for years. And we have 2 implement dealers here in town. So, you know, that is tremendous. Not to mention the factories and industrial opportunities. There's several different things that people can be employed here. I'll tell you, our school system employs a tremendous amount of
the
residents.
Tell me about that. Now, tell me is there one here in Cahokia? Is the high school?
There actually is a high school that is located here in Cahokia. There is a middle school, which is located here in Cahokia. And we have 2 elementaries. One is at Running Fox, and it is just south of Wayland, probably. I'm going to say 3 miles.
Yep, 3 miles south.
Now, folks come up like Avenue of the Saints, like I did. Wayland's where you're going to come off to come to Cahokia, right?
That's right.
That's where you're turning to go to Cahokia. And if you paid real close attention when you were by the bridge just before you got to Wayland, it said Keokuk, that's where the other elementary school is.
Okay. And we have a new Indian Pride Learning Center that is for our preschool kids and kids that have some form of learning disability, maybe they're a little ornery and they end up over there as well. But you'll see here, you know, with all of the talk about the Chiefs and the way things are changing in Kansas City, we still are the Clark County Indians. Our schools, like he
as
said,
the Post and the Star found out yet to give me a bunch of trouble. I seen these up at Savannah throwing a fit.
Yeah.
Well, to be really truthful, I think that our school system does not dishonor Indians in any way, shape, or form.
I'd agree.
And to be very truthful, this part of the county or state, however you want to say it, did and was mainly, as you very referred to at the very opening, that it was Indians that lived here. So, I mean, our rivers are named after them around here, the Wakandaw, the Des Moines. A lot of our towns are named after them, or have, if you would do a lot of survey, Wyoconda. I mean, they all are.
It's meant to honor the Indians.
I mean,
honor the Indians.
Yeah, that is a part. I now being a just a pasty white German from the Boot Hill. No one calls themselves like the Seattle Germans, right, or the Seattle Huns. I always felt like naming, you don't name yourself, your team that you want to rally behind and cheer for, something you're ashamed of or something you look down on. You'd name your team in your school something you'd be proud of. And I'm not sure how folks get it that it is a derogatory thing, because I've never seen anybody that meant to make, not only be derogatory to them, but be derogatory to, maybe that's such a good point, just the sound came in from above there.
Well, and I will tell you, it is to honor, from Running Fox to Black Hawk, all names that you said in the early part of our history there, we've continued those names on, and it's educating and it's honoring those past.
Y'all just heard Craig Redman's cell phone
go off.
I'd like
to interrupt you right there. When he talks about honoring, every one of our elementaries during the year, and I know this because I did teach for a while, 20-some years as a matter of fact, they will do a unit on Indians, and they will talk about all of the Chief Keokuk, and the kids do probably a 3-week in-depth study on them and their culture and stuff like that. So it is basically to learn about their heritage, which I think if everybody in the United States knew a little bit more about everybody else, we'd be a lot better country.
Well, tell me, what's the rivalry? Is there a rivalry basketball game, rivalry football game? Where's the rival for?
The rivalries, much like the river, have shifted as conferences have shifted. You know, if you look back when Kelly and I were in high school, the big rivalry would have been Scotland and Clark County, which is just one county over. And now the rivalries have changed because Scotland County is in a different conference because they're a smaller school district than we are. So, you know, the rivalries, we're Clarence Cannon. And the rivalry shift just kind of like the river does.
So where's the rivalry now?
Well, I'd say it is slowly developing between Palmyra,
yes,
and Monroe City, because in basketball or football and even a little bit in baseball and softball, one of us three are going to represent Northeast Missouri. So if you're representing and you're getting knocked off and you might be one or two so-called seeds ahead, that builds a rivalry in a hurry.
And I can tell you, Palmyra pronounces Cahoka much different than we pronounce Cahoka. And we pronounce Palmyra, much different than they do. So, yes, that's where the rivalry is.
You want to hear a funny story? I don't probably say this, but so I'm from Neelyville. If you go from here just due south, you darn near hit Butler County. Well, Butler County has Popper Bluff. It's a big city. It's the silk and lace portion of the county there in Popper Bluff. But on the east is Twin Rivers, on the west is Neelyville, and we hated them, and we always fought with them. We were much smaller schools, you know. But I was telling some jokes. I interviewed the Commissioner of Education, Margie Van Deven, and I was like, well, you ought to look into that Twin Rivers school. I mean, they're probably up to some no good things. I can't tell you exactly what, but if you'd look into them, and they have a new superintendent, and he called me I was not happy. And I thought I was being serious. I was like, well, I was being serious. I mean, I'm sure you guys are doing some squirrely stuff. I'm actually from Neely, but he was from out of town. He didn't know. And so he got all sideways about it. But I will reiterate, if Margie's listening, I still would look into Twin Rivers if I was you.
I had a niece that played for Clark County, Julie Garris, and she is now coaching in Palmyra, Missouri.
Ooh.
And she actually has a younger daughter, which will someday be a very good basketball player. And we were at a...
Did she move over, or is she still living
here?
Well,
no, she married a boy from Highland, so anyway, she has a little girl, and they were up here when we did play Palmyra, and then we were sitting at a boys' game, and they came up, and of course, they're in their orange instead of their red and gray, so we have a good friend, our neighbor of ours, who plays basketball. She had her letter jacket there, and my great-niece was sitting in my lap, so I put their jacket around her, and of course, there are some Palmyra fans around. Every time Clark County, I would raise her up in the air and have her clap her hand. And the little girl thought it was kind of funny. Her mom died laughing. All the fans around there died laughing. So that'll show you what kind of rivalry.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, tell me about what the co-op and what it does here.
Well, we serve all of Clark County. And if you don't live in the cities here in Clark County, we were able back in 2000 to work out a territorial agreement with Ameren UE. So if you're in the cities, Ameren UE or the municipality like they have here in Cahokia will serve your electricity. If you are out in the rural area, there's no question. It's Lewis County REC. And actually, Lewis County REC has had strong leadership from Clark County. We have three directors that sit on our board from Clark County. So we cover Lewis, Clark, and Knox County. But our co-op has a strong presence here, has for years, clear back to the late 1930s. Mr. Ackley was our board president for years back in the inception of the electric co-op, and he was a board president from Clark County. So we're very strong here. I live here, reside here. You know, it's if you're out in the country, we serve your electricity. And when Buddy referred to some of the Iowa addresses, boy, let me tell you, he's right. We serve people that actually had Iowa addresses, and don't think that didn't throw up red flags. You know, why is this Missouri co-op serving people in Iowa? We're not. We're serving people in. So we went through that 20 years ago as well, is why is this happening? But, you know, when you talk about Clark County and Cahokia, you couldn't really ask for a better place to raise your family because, you know, a lot of time a person's success is not measured by the people that you know during your life, but the number of people at your funeral. That's true. I can tell you, the people that attend funerals here in this county wait for hours to get in to see people. And, you know, reputations, family names carry on for generations and generations, right, Kelly?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, that's the question I like to end with, I always like to ask. It's a favorite thing I like to know. Commissioner, if you had somebody come up, let's say you had Vince Lampe make the, if you wonder how big Missouri is, you drive from Stringtown, Missouri, to Cahokia in a day, and you're going to get to see it. You're going to spend most of your day in a truck. If he came up here today, where would you take him? What would you show him about Clark County?
Well, I guess I'd probably start right here at the courthouse and show him what a courthouse we have. I would probably take him to several of the businesses, introduce him to the people. I would even take him out and try to find two or three of the farmers, and not necessarily the largest farmers, and just give him a general overview of what Clark County really is. I mean, he would find that every place he went, I think he would be welcomed with open arms. They would sit down, they would visit with him. Once you're here, everybody knows you, and you're a friend from then on. So I think with about 2 hours of visiting people, once you're here, like I said, it's home. People accept you for what you are, and we welcome people here.
We're in the heart of everything here in Clark County because when you look, you can be in Jefferson City in 2.5 hours. You can be in Des Moines, Iowa in 2.5 hours, Springfield, Illinois, 2.5 hours, Cedar Rapids, Iowa in 2.5 hours, and Kansas City in about 3.5 hours. So, you know, when you talk about the heartland, this is the heartland.
And if you really wanted to, if you wanted to divide the United States and hit the center point of the United States, we're probably about as close to the center of the United States as you can actually be. I don't care if you're going east, west, north, or south. And if you're on the highways, I'd say we definitely have to be very, very, very close because we've got roads that run north and south. We've got roads that run east and west. So if you're going by roads, we probably are the center of the United States. Yeah. So,
well, Kelly, tell me if you had Angie Curley from Dent County up, where would you take her here in Clark County? What would you ever know?
I would have to agree with Buddy. I'd start here at the courthouse and give her a little bit of history and then just kind of show her throughout the community.
I might add, Kelly probably take her to the ice cream shop.
I probably would, yes.
This ice cream shop sounds good, huh, Jay?
Yes. I'd probably take her to get some ice cream.
Travis, tell me, you brought Caleb Jones up here, which I bet you have.
Caleb's been up in this neck of the woods. I'll tell you, I'd be very greedy. I'd take Caleb right to my front porch. Because after Granddad lived there and passed away at 90 years old, and now we live there, I'll tell you, there's no prettier place in the United States than there is sitting on my front porch looking out over Clark County. You know, if you could do an ad of where to go for relaxation, for a beautiful place, I don't care if you go to the mountains, I don't care where you go, we've got some of the prettiest scenery right here in Clark County.
Well, I want to thank you all for the hospitality and getting to visit with you about Clark County and its history. Well, this will be it for this week on Show Missouri, the history of Missouri one county at a time. We're brought to you by the Missouri Farm Bureau, the Missouri Association of Electric Co-ops. Very grateful to them for letting us come talk about places like Clark County. And we will see you next week.